and welcome back to 10 out of 10 with Watch Again with Lorne and Us.
Hello.
This week we are talking about 1992's Ghost Watch, and another absolute staple in the McAllister household.
Yep.
This week was going to be Psychological Horror Week, and we were digging through all of the ones that we loved, and we kept going back and forth, and basically until yesterday, we were like, we'll do this, we'll do this, no, we'll do this, we'll do this. And then Ross somehow managed the ghetto math that Ghost Watch was a psychological horror. And to be fair, I'm not mad about it. It fits the psychological horror descriptions. It's like a slow burn movie that ramps the tension up, keeps you second guessing, and then you don't realise you're shitting yourself until you're shitting yourself. So applause, Ross. Amen.
Thank you.
And also, fuck it, it's our podcast. We'll make it fit, right?
Like, do what we want. Fuck
so, is. You wire in, Ross, and hit us with your general patter.
So, it was released in Halloween of 1992 as a BBC special.
Yeah, it was. Allegedly, it was listed as a drama.
Yeah. There was something called Screen One, I think they'd done. And I'm not sure, wasn't born. But it was all listed, but we'll get into all the carry on after this.
Aye, we have a lot to say.
Yeah, so released on Halloween 1992, directed by Leslie Manning, starring Michael Parkinson, Sarah Green, Mike Smith, and Craig Charles.
Yep.
Obviously famous for being telepresenters and like BBC like darlings, if you will. Don't know the budget. Didn't have a box office, obviously. Like, that's got a week off, right off the rip, so they couldn't have made money anyway, being the BBC.
We have, like, so much to cover. Like, this movie, we thought as well, would be interesting because, as well as the movie being movie, TV special, whatever you want, but apart from this being its own psychological thing, it's got so much, like, the impact on the general audience, the, like, future influences on things. Like, there's so much to go in, and I'm telling you right now, if you haven't watched this movie, turn this episode off right now, go and watch it and come back, because everybody needs to see it.
Yeah, stunning.
General overview, just BBC documentary exploring the paranormal that goes horribly wrong.
Goes tits up, I'll give you that.
So why do you love this movie?
It's such a bizarre, like, to hear about all the, like, what this is about, you think it's a lot of pish, especially given, like, the way people view the BBC and the way they do live shows,
yeah,
like,
quote unquote,
as I air quote it, and it just works. Like, I think the British do, like, these type of things better than Americans.
Yeah, they do the psychological kind of creepy,
like, the tension building
totally
and that.
Agree.
And this is something that I can imagine going into it on Halloween night in 1992, being a kid or something, not knowing.
Yep.
Like, you would be fucking terrified.
Yep.
Like, as a gust of wind just came out and we both had to pause and shit ourselves.
Yeah, we are currently recording this when there's a storm outside, and I'm not being funny, I'm sat right next to the window and I'm not enjoying myself, guys. Like, we really should have turned more lights on in the room because it's just us. And there's, like, a wee light in the side. The rest of the house is, like, dark and quiet. And all you can hear is the wind blowing shit about outside. So I'm not having a good time, guys, okay?
For something that is 32 years old and watching it now, you know, like, obviously you know that this can't be, like, a live thing.
Yep.
It just hits you.
100%.
We've watched this together so many times. Yep. Every time I'm like, oh, fuck.
It's your face every time we watch it. Like, you've got the biggest shit-eating grin. Like, this is like Lebowski levels of grinning.
Yeah, I love showing this to other people. And even when I say to people, you need to watch this, okay, like, you need to watch it, but I need to be there to watch it with you.
Yeah.
Like, because you start off, I remember when I first seen it, and it was just me and my two pals. I think we're sitting at my pal's house, and he's like, I'll put this on, I've heard it's scary. And we see it all, it's Parkinson, that, and it's like, get the fuck, that's a lot of pish. Then about half an hour in, we're like, well, they'll try to act as if we're no scared, but we're like, I'm fucking shit myself.
Yeah, trying to do the pure bravado thing,
But like, it's just, it's weird how it can just suck you in. The writing and, like, the way this goes is, this outdoes most modern movies like this.
Totally agree.
It's just, it's insane.
Totally agree.
It's so insane.
This movie absolutely traumatised me the first time I watched it. And I'm not afraid to say, that as much as I love horror, I am the biggest shitebag going, right? Like, as much as I love horror, I'm the one that's, like, jumping about the couch. Like, Ross always laughs when we watch a horror movie that we've not seen before. And I start off on the opposite end of the couch. And then I'm like, oh, I'm just going to sit over here. My bit's not too comfy. And then by the end of the movie, I'm, like, pure cuddled in. Like, pure Ross, no. Like, do you know, like, I'm such a shitebag. And the first time I watched this movie was we had just started going out. Arsehole, right? Like, the wheel had just been invented and we'd just started going out. And you were like, oh, I found this old documentary from the 90s. It's supposed to be really scary. And I was like, all right, nae bother. That sounds pure shite. But cool, I'll indulge him. He's my new boyfriend. Bitch. And if you remember from a few episodes ago, I was saying how Rossi's old bedroom was terrifying. There was like cupboards that would just swing open in the middle of nowhere, blah, blah, blah. Like, as much as your mum and dad's house is lovely, that bedroom was hell, right? Aye. And we were literally confined to this one room for years. And it was like watching Ghost Watch, and then like cupboards were moving, and it was, and I'm not being funny, like, I was jumping about like nobody's business. Like, I mind your mum was like, is everything all right? And I was like, no, Fiona, like, pure. But see, like you were saying about like obviously telling people, but you want to be the one to show them. Yeah. Like, we've done this to so many of our pals. Like, shout out Veronica, because we absolutely ruined her night. Like, I did. Now, to be fair, I think this is one of those ones, seeing like in the kind of It Follows, which was one we were going to do, but then we chose Ghost.
Yeah, that's shit compared to
yeah,
this.
Yeah, fuck It Follows. But like in the It Follows way of you have to tell someone to pass it on, I was like to Veronica, oh my God, me and Ross have found this pure mad documentary from the 90s. You need to come up and watch it. And Veronica loves horror movies. And then Veronica is also the easiest person to... Sorry, yeah. Veronica, I'm absolutely putting you on blast here. I hope you don't mind. But, like, she's so easy. Like, she gets so into movies from 5 minutes in. And Ross will just go, like, huh! And she's, like, off the couch and in our room. Do you know what I mean? Like, so this is another one. Me and Ross were like, we found this. Like, we found it in HMV for, like, a tenner. And... We knew it was supposed to be crazy, so let's all watch it. And she was the same, like, the first 20 minutes, I watched her watch this movie.
Just rolling her eyes and
totally,
all that.
Totally. First 20 minutes, she's on the phone, eyes are rolling, she's pure no into it. And then by the end of the movie, she is so far up my arse.
Hi. Like, I'm just speaking of doing that, my favourite one to do to Veronica, sorry Veronica.
Sorry Veronica.
Is, like, if it's dead quiet and I'll slap my knees and I'll be like, right, I'm going for a piss. It's just absolutely, oh, you bastard.
100%.
Like, oh, time for a piss.
Remember when you done that to her during The Nun too? I swear to God. No, but then, mind you, no, the both of you are arseholes, right? Because I can't remember what we were all watching, and I went to go to the toilet, and I came back, and Veronica had, like, hidden at the side of the door, and, like, leapt out at me, and you were pissing yourself laughing. I left my stomach halfway down the hall. Basically, the moral of this story is, if you become pals with me and Ross, we will just bam you up, do you know what I mean?
Like, shit,
we're all arseholes to each other, do you know what I mean? Remember, though, you and me, sorry, Veronica, will take you off that pedestal now. I remember you and me were in town and we jumped in HMV just to be like, oh, what's happening? And you found this for, like, I think it was like a fiver or something, like, genuinely. And it was your face. You were like, Lauren, no way, look what I found. And you were so happy. And then we went home and watched it. And I was like, oh, I hate that. Let him buy this.
It was one of those. I think we were just going to, it was a treat ourselves day.
Yes.
And we're like, all right, we've both got £100 each to spend.
Yep.
Let's do it. I spent a fiver on Ghostwatch. I have treated myself.
Let's go home the new.
That was stunning. Right, we get your thoughts and opinions in?
Yeah.
Right, so I'll start with the innovative format of this.
Mm.
Like this.
Ooh, innovative format.
Like this, as far as I'm aware, and for what I've looked up, had never been done before.
Nope.
Especially by the BBC in the UK.
The BBC, my love.
The first of its kind, for what I can see.
Yep.
How this has also managed to make a whole genre of horror films, 100%. Of movies in general. Like, you have this, the horror mockumentaries, found footage. This has done so much. In my opinion, it's still, as I've said, it does it better still. And I don't understand, like, how can the BBC do this? Like, it's just, 100%. If you were to tell me the BBC is the inspiration behind found footage and like horror mockumentary, I'd be like, nah, you're pulling my leg.
Like, don't talk shite, yeah. 100%.
If you've watched this scene, like your panel activities and Blair Witch Project and that, you know the beats that are coming.
Yep.
But this is, I don't know, it's just that being able to build up that sense of dread, totally. And like that feeling in your stomach.
Yep.
And it's that this shouldn't work. This shouldn't work for the BBC.
This is like credited like in like either underrated movies or like other directors and writers have credited this movie as their inspiration. And I'm like, that's fucking insane for being like a documentary, well, mockumentary from the BBC. Yeah. Like, it's just that we, like, I know obviously, like, you can watch the BBC, whatever, but this is, like, our thing. Like, this is, like, our parquet, our, like, do you know what I mean? Like, and it's went on to be that, I mean, obviously at the time, I don't think they thought that this was going to have the impact that it has. And, like, I've got stuff and useless information about the, like, if they had been allowed to get away with as much as they wanted, like, the guys that wrote this were just bam-ups, do you know what I mean? Like, there's so much stuff in it that it's just, like, no fucking way, do you know what I mean? But, like, it's absolutely insane. Like, this is one of those ones, like, again, obviously, like most mockumentaries, but this one especially, it's kind of that, like, la-la-la, BBC, lot of pish, blah-blah-blah, and then it's really, really slow, like, for the first, like, maybe 20 minutes, it's like, and here's this. But, and obviously, if you're familiar with a BBC, quote-unquote, live production, there's a lot of bouncing back and forward between the studio to the house, to the presenters outside. If you're familiar with that kind of setup, there's a lot of, like, it's supposed to be live, so there's a lot of presenters just kind of yammering to fill their airtime. So it's a lot of that for maybe the first 20, 25 minutes. And it really, really slowly ramps up. Like, they've got the phone in bit that I don't even know if they do that anymore, to be honest. Like, they don't do phone ins anymore.
Nah.
I don't think so.
A lot of live stuff like
not the way they used to. Because I know, obviously, this came out in 1992. We weren't born until 93. But this kind of thing was through our childhood, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, obviously, like, so there's, like, the phone-in section where people start dropping in, like, their creepy ghost stories intertwined with creepy facts about the house and about all this kind of stuff. And it's, like, little things. And then by about halfway through, when it goes fucking tonto, like, this is the same way that, like, Hereditary, Midsommar, all the kind of best psychological horrors make, like, It Follows, Us, Get Out, where it's ramping and ramping and ramping and you don't realise that you're shitting yourself until you're shitting yourself. Like, it's very that. And to put a BBC, just to go back to your point, to put a BBC mockumentary in with that group of, like, that's top class psychological thrillers, horrors that I've just mentioned, to put this in with that is nuts. And do you know
and
what I mean?
Even, like, expand on that is, Midsommar, that you have, like, Florence Pugh, one of the best actors for our generation.
100%, and that's not even exaggerating. Yeah, like,
is it? You have Will Poulter on that, who are, like, top of their game.
Yeah, man.
You have fucking Michael Parkinson.
Yeah.
You have Craig Charles. Like, they're not actors. Yeah. Well, Craig Charles is Red Dwarf in that.
They're all the presenters are actors, but they've all been in, like, fucking Brookside and that. Do you know what I mean?
Like, this is why this worked for me so well, is it? As you said, like, they cut about in that. But the live stuff, it's all clunky.
Yes.
Like, when Sarah Green's in the house, she's battling into the sound guy, the camera guy.
Yeah, tripping up over the wires and that.
Like,
yeah.
It's all very chaotic. It's not as polished as, like, when you see, like, bad movies do it, and it's like, everything goes perfect. No, like, they bump at each other, they're trying to squeeze through each other and all that, because it's built as, there's this house, but it's not, like, a big, massive... Like,
it's a council house, yeah. It's a council house.
Small corridors, narrow stairways and that. So it's not like it's...
Like, you've been in houses that look like this. Like, I don't mean like you personally. Everybody
lives in their houses.
Yep. Everyone's either lived in or has been or has family members who live in. Like, you all know the narrow halls, the kind of living, that kind of kitchen.
As soon as you open your door, like, you're into the living room.
Yep.
And the kitchen, but it's all, like, it's all dead small.
Yeah.
You all right?
No, I can just hear the outside. I'm giving me the fear. And anyway,
but it's like, it's the realism that's added in that is just, it's stunning.
100%. 100%. And, like, this is so, like now, well, I mean, Panorama's always been a thing on the BBC, but like it's set up like that kind of thing. And it all of the, I'll kind of say this before we go on, all of the presenters that are in it were like well-known 80s to 90s presenters. Like, so you've got Craig Charles, who presented like loads of different kids shows, as well as appearing in Red Dwarf. Mike Smith was a DJ, presented Top of the Pops, worked with Noel Edmonds, that kind of vibe. Sarah Green was a Blue Peter presenter. And obviously Blue Peter was huge when we were kids. Like, obviously, like, huge in the 80s and 90s, but then even when we were coming up, I remember in primary school, you would like,
I'm sure it's still going.
Probably is, do you know what I mean? But like, remember, like, you'd come home from school and you'd be like, Blue Peter's on, and like, some arsehole would have made like a ship out of like milk cartons, and you were like, bastard. Aye,
here's
what
you do.
Oh, is that what you do to get a badge? I ain't bothered, do you know what I mean? And obviously, Parky's Parky, like, talk show host of the stars, do you know what I mean? Like, so it's all these kind of familiar British faces intermingled in this kind of Enfield haunting, well, I mean, that's what it's based on, but that kind of haunted house scenario. Like, this movie comes into a movie / TV show, covers so many genres. Like, we are kind of, to be fair, we've cherry picked the psychological elements of it, but like, this comes into so many things. Like, I think when we did the Halloween tropes, we mentioned this in haunted house and found footage, and like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's so much to cover.
Yeah.
See as well, sorry, just off the back of the, obviously it being the well-known British things, it's got that really dour British public vibe, if you get what I mean.
Oh, like, it's a pure like newspaper compo face.
100%, 100% compo face. 100%. Like, when you speak to the family, like, how many times have you turned on the news or like anything like that, and there's just somebody being like, oh, my life's ruined. Oh. Like, do you remember that TV show that was out and it was like From Hell, and it would be like Neighbours from Hell, Homes from Hell. Aye. And there was always like some pure woman whose eye bags were halfway down her face. Aye. Like, I've not slept in 6 months. Like, do you know what I mean?
They keep smashing microwaves at 4 a.m. I don't know where they're getting the microwaves from.
Every time I tell them to stop, they threaten me with violence. Aye. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's very that dirty British public vibe that really adds into it. Do you know what I mean? It's like the first time you meet the family, she's pure like, oh, we're living in hell. And you're like, all right, smashing. And then fucking goes nuts. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So given everything, how we've just bummed this up, the legacy that this has left.
Yep.
And they, as I said, this is inspired. I mean, I believe you, like you mentioned to me that the Blair Witch Project was heavily inspired by this.
I've got that in Useless Information. Yeah. Like, he cited that this movie was his inspiration for the way they made Blair Witch Project. And this came out 8 years before Blair Witch did. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know whether or not this was planned by the BBC, but by them pulling this straight away, it's left a mystique about it. Because obviously, I mean, they wouldn't have released it on VHS.
Wait, pause, you've not even told the people it was banned.
And it got banned by the BBC.
Yep, I've got so much on Useless Information about it, so give us like half an hour.
But, and because the amount of complaints, there's more details we'll get into for Useless Information.
Why it was banned,
But I wonder if that was a ploy by them, or if they generally did, we have fucked up here.
I'm like, going to tell you right now. People. Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, spoiler alert, like, they done fucked up. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, we'll get to that a bit later on, but, like, yeah, this was pulled immediately.
Yeah.
And, spoiler alert, has never been shown on British.
It won't be shown on TV.
No, not on UK-based ones. Like, not on UK-based channels. It's never been shown a rerun. It's never been shown, period. I think the only way you can find it online is like through a German thing, or you buy the DVD from HMV for a fiver. Do you know what I mean?
It wasn't allowed to be released on DVD.
Yeah.
In the UK, you had to buy the German version.
Yeah. It's not on streaming sites at all. Like, the BBC really were like, nope, we fucked up. We're never showing this again. And then obviously we found it and we were like, fucking incredible.
Yeah.
But like you say, it's added to that mystique. It's added to that. No way. Like, like it's underrated for a reason, because not a lot of people have seen it, you know?
Other than if you could have watched it at the time.
Yeah.
Like, on like Halloween 1992, yep, then
fuck that, by the
you
way,
would not have seen this.
No, I'm like, in susceptible the UK especially, to shit. Yeah. Like,
especially not having access to no internet, like not in the way that we know it now, where we could like we could find this on a million things. So it's all word of mouth. Like, yep, if you like some teenage kid that watched this, then you'll go to college and you're like, did you watch that last night? Is it no? Is it all like you? It might come back on. Is it no? It's been pulled. You're like, bastard.
100%.
It's just that. Is it? Oh, do you see this? Because apparently there's people saying, aye, the version on TV was different. They're like,
yeah, I remember you telling me that. Apparently there was like more stuff in the original one. Like
the Tara Green, apparently you see her get murdered in it.
Oh, really?
Aye, like you actually see him like disembowel or something.
Yeah.
It's all been proven false now because internet ruins fucking everything.
Aye, of course. But at the time, because like being like 10, 11 years old in 1992, watching this, being like, what the fuck have I just watched? And then, like you say, word of mouth, but then as well, Chinese whispers of you saying that she got disemboweled. There was probably all these different Chinese whispers. So this is going to have been built up in your head. It's like, what the fuck did we just watch? Do you know what I mean?
It's creating 100%. A buzz. But even people haven't seen it, like, they're creating a buzz around it.
Oh, totally.
And I'm trying to think of other horror movies that have done that. Now, you're thinking Blair Witch Project done it.
Yep.
It's in a similar style to this.
Texas Chainsaw. The original.
They got done for the gore of the movies.
Yep.
The Exorcist.
Yep. Yeah, the second a movie gets banned, everyone's like, where the fuck can I watch it? Like, getting your movie banned is probably the best thing for your film.
Oh,
as much as I don't like the film, is it Cannibal Holocaust or Green... The Eli Roth one?
Oh, Green Inferno?
Green Inferno. Whatever I mean, Cannibal Holocaust is the 70s one that was also banned because they did that in the style of, like, a television crew going to see it. And apparently there was, like, real tribe things in it that it was then banned because they were like, you've crossed so many fucking lines here. But then even the Eli Roth one, years later, got banned... immediately went through the roof. Like, I'm no into that kind of thing.
No, it's not my type of horror, no.
Totally. But your movie... Your movie getting banned is the best thing ever. Like, even in school, like, I remember, like, things would be... like, somebody would find their dad's VHS of some horror movie, and then everyone in school would be like, oh, my God, have you seen this? Oh, my God, have you seen that? And it's all that, like, pure... especially when you're a teenager, like, a young kid to a teenager, and, like... you're trying to be a big, brave boy, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, fucking insane.
Like, even that, like, look at Late Night with the Devil.
Late Night with the Devil.
That's basically Ghostwatch.
Yeah.
Like, beat for beat.
Yep.
Like, follows the same thing. And Ghostwatch is, if the guy who does that doesn't mention Ghostwatch as an inspiration, then he's a liar.
He's lying. Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, see, when you Google Ghostwatch, Google does that like more like this feature.
Yeah.
The second option is Late Night with the Devil, and the third one is that Lake Mungo.
You will need to watch that.
We've never seen it, but it is one of those ones. Apparently, it's the American shite version of Ghostwatch. I'm like, fuck it, I'll watch it.
Yeah, swatch, aye. As soon as it's a psychological horror one, is one thing I appreciate about this movie, and it really does add to, like, the psychological horror elements of it, is there's no jump scares.
Nope.
Like, you get one... well, I say there's one, but it's not intended as a horror thing. It's when Craig Charles jumps out the cupboard.
That's a break the tension jump scare.
Comic relief moment,
100%.
But it's... as we said, like, first 20 minutes, it's just like you're watching a BBC, your typical BBC show, and you're like, this is pish. Like, the way they do it, they slowly bring them in, like, you only see little shots of them, or it's like little glances, but is it him, is it somebody there? Then it's like, then once the phone calls come in, is it, I seen something there, but then it goes back to the footage and he's not, then you're like, I'm not thinking that, I'm looking too much for it.
So I've got a list of the pipes viewing, so basically, again, if you've not seen this movie, get a fucking grip of your life. Come up to our house. We'll watch it together.
There is a website that tells you, like,
where all the sightings
are. They've got nine sightings of them.
Apparently, there's 13. Yeah. But, like, the directors came out and been like, oh, aye, there's one that nobody's found.
Yeah.
So, basically, like, kind of in the style of Paranormal Activity, it's one of those ones of, like, you look into a corner and then you look back and he's not there. So... Some of the sightings include, apparently he's on the patio at the very start. We had a look, couldn't find him. The bedroom by the window. So basically there's a camera in the corner. The lights go out and you can fucking clear as day
silhouette of him, yeah.
See the silhouette. And then she says, can we rewind that to double check? And it rewinds it and he's no there. So you're sitting there like that. Maybe I was wrong. There's the voice on the tape. So the, what's her name? Dr.
Pascal.
Dr. Pascal. She's been kind of studying these kids. And she does that thing where she puts water in the kid's mouth and is like, let's see what happens. And then the ghost starts to talk through the kid. But while you're hearing the voice on the tape, the shadow of Pipes shows up behind the woman. Yeah. And the thing that this movie does that's really smart is every time you see him as the movie goes on, he gets more and more stolid. He gets more and more corporeal. Yeah. Corporeal, fucking take a tenner for that one. There's a part where Craig Charles is going to speak to a big group of people.
Yeah, he speaks to the two women.
That's another thing. Before you even see Pipes, these women are telling these like really grim stories about things that happen in the neighborhoods of like kids have went missing, were never found. There was a pregnant dog whose like fetuses were scattered everywhere. You're not
he's
seeing.
Got eviscerated in the dog.
And like, the kids of like the kids who saw it were never the same.
They didn't sleep right for weeks.
But like you don't see anything. You just hear these people like saying the stories and it still hits. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And then as Craig Charles is coming back, you see the full Pipes like coat, well, dress, nay eye, blah blah blah, everything. Then also there's a part where you hear everything banging about back in the house. She goes into the kitchen and you see Pipes in the patio door.
Yeah, they sort of pan over and you see him behind them, but it's obviously the reflection. Yep. Yeah.
And then there's also, you see him in the cupboard under the stairs, because I'm sorry, the whole way through this movie they call the cupboard under the stairs a glory hole.
Yeah,
and that hasn't aged well at all. And then there's also different bits where like the static comes in and out and you see like the silhouette in the static. There's also another time where you see him in the bedroom and he's proper solid and he looks like he's lunging and then the camera comes back and he's not there. Yeah. And it's just so well done. Like, it's all about the ramping of the tension, because obviously at the start it's just like, oh, it could be him or it couldn't be him. And then by the end, he like, spoiler, possesses Parkinson, and you just see, like, do you know that way in live TV where they just have to comment on everything that's going on? So
they've run out of stuff to do.
Exactly. Aye. So by the end of this movie, everything's gone to shit. Like, basically, Pasco says, fuck, we've
conducted a seance here.
Yeah, a nationwide seance, because there's more and more calls coming in being like, oh, this is happening in my house. My kids are freaking out. My dogs are freaking out. La, 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 la. The whole way through. And then everything goes to shit. And all the lights go out. And it's just Parky sitting in his chair being like, well, as you can see in the studio, the lights are going out and the cameras are going mad and there's wind everywhere, blah, blah, blah. And then everything goes black. And Parkinson stands up and goes round and round the garden like a teddy bear. And then the possessed voice comes out. Yeah. And then all you hear is like a cat scream and it fucking ends.
Yeah.
And I remember when that ended the first time I watched this and I was just sitting there like, I didn't move. And you were like, did you enjoy that? And I was like, don't fucking speak to me.
It's like, you have all the sightings. They're smart when they do it. And it's as if it's like, right, oh, we see the ghost. Oh, these people lived here and that. But then, as it more ramps up, it's the calls, and it's like, oh, was it Mary, whatever her name was, lived there? Saying, oh, we've got records out. So, yeah, but they subletted a room.
Yep.
And then you see, oh, is it, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Then it's like, yeah, I was his social worker. He was.
Yeah.
Like, then once they start hearing all the other stuff going on, and like other phone calls, it's like, oh, I know there was a person lived there. They were a bit strange. Like, I don't know what happened to them. It's that, like, this doesn't, it's not a storyline, or is that it follows for A to B? Is it just gives you like drips of information?
100%.
But then the more you hear it, is it, this is fucking like this is the normal, it's not a normal dude.
Yeah. Well, I've got the backstory here. Aye. So obviously, like you've said, it's like you get the tidbits throughout.
Yeah, you like this is given to you, like not
drips
you don't
and drabs,
get it all once,
100%. Like you need to piece it together. So basically, a social worker phones up and says that a man called Raymond Tunstall lived in that house. It was sublet from his auntie and uncle, and basically he was a mentally ill child molester, aggravated assault, like abduction of minors, and he killed himself in that house because he said the spirit of a woman was possessing him, and he started wearing dresses and all this kind of thing. And then you find out as well that the woman who's possessed him was Mother Seddons, who was the local kind of child minder, but she used to have loads of cats, but all the kids that she looked after, she would like drown them, and then she would drown all the kids and she would drown all the cats. So it's kind of like Inception in ghost form, but like so fucking good. Like, because this is all just being fed to you in little pipettes of information, and then it's by the end you're like, oh my god, do you know,
like,
what I mean?
Once that it dawns on them that, oh shit, we've really done something bad to her, like, it's just full tilt. And you're just sitting there like, ah, oh, fuck.
100%.
Like, the psychological, that's what does it mean, is that you're not exactly scared, but you have that feeling in your chest.
Yep.
And you, like, that sinking feeling is like, shit. It's obviously, it's fear, but you're sitting there and you're like, it's not a fear, that you, like, at least with, like, other horrors where it's a jump scare, you get that. And, like, you can laugh that off, but this is lingering.
Yeah, like, a jump scare almost breaks the tension, do you know what I mean?
It's one of the worst things. I think that's why it's quite cheap to do in horror, because you get the scare for a second, and it's...
And then you can laugh, and then, like, you've lost it.
Like, the tension goes, and you can relax again, and it takes time for it to build up. But with stuff like this, it doesn't let go.
Yeah.
Like, and up until then, you're still feeling that. You're still feeling a bit 100%. A bit tension, like... I don't think I'm coming down for this for a while.
Yeah, it takes you like half an hour to calm down after the movie's over. Yeah, totally,
like,
get you.
There's not many movies that when I first see it, you hear a noise, like, what's that? Everything else, I can be like, what I always say is,
you're not arsed.
Like you said, oh, there's ghosts here. There's no paying my fucking rent. But if pipes in that time, I'm like, ah, we're in deep shit here.
100%.
Because, like, as I said, he doesn't do anything. Like, obviously he does the possession and that, but... He's not active, like, on screen in this. He just stands still.
Yep.
Like, this guy's managed to become one of the most terrifying ghosts by doing hee-haw.
Yes.
Standing still. He doesn't move. The character himself doesn't speak. He just stands like a muppet.
Aye.
And I'm like, that's just brilliant, brilliant writing.
No, like, 100%. This is so well written. Like, honestly, like, this could be anything. Like, the fact that it's a I think that's the thing, is that's what we keep coming back to, is, like, this is a fucking BBC mockumentary, do you know what I mean? Like, and it's so well written, and, like, everyone, like, obviously you've got all the presenters who, they've been presenting for years, they're in their bag, they know what they're doing, but even, like, the child actors aren't great, but you don't lose it, like, it's not...
Like, they sell it well, obviously, that, the choice was, like, get people who can present, although, like, this... It wasn't filmed live in that. These guys know what they're doing.
Yep.
Like, they can hit all the points. Like, you don't need to give them big scripts. I don't imagine they said to Sarah Green, Craig Charles, that, like, here's a script.
100%.
Maybe there's, like, maybe with Parkinson, is it that, like, you need to hit this point, but just do this as if you're doing a live show, or as if you're doing an episode of Parkinson.
Yep.
And it's just, that adds to it, and it makes it, like, as we said, they're all house on them, so it's personal, like, personable to you.
Yeah, like... When you're watching the BBC, like, you, people watch either, like, BBC or ITV or any of these channels, like, you watch it first thing in the morning when you're getting ready for your work. Uh-huh. Do you know what I mean? Like, you have your breakfast and your cup of tea and you get ready for your work while this is on. You come home, you put on the news.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not working, it's daytime telly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, 92, there's no, let's say, there's no other sources, but it's television or radio.
Yeah, totally. So, like, if you're not working, it's daytime telly, and it's all that, like, This Morning, Blue Peter, all that kind of good stuff. You come home from work or school. If it's school, you've got, like, Blue Peter on, then it's the news. Then after that, you're sitting watching the telly, and these people will be presenting, like, other shows throughout the channel. So, like, they're ingrained in your day. Like, you're very much, like... And I know that might sound
daft. You almost know them.
Yeah, totally. And I don't know if that sounds daft or sounds a bit parasocial or what, but, like, when you're watching this throughout the different points of your day, like, you do feel like you know them, and you do feel like, oh, they've, like, do you know what I mean? So obviously there's going to have been people who came
so
into
easily
this.
Recognizable.
Absolutely.
Like, it's not just some faceless, like, YouTuber.
Yeah.
Because it's, now, obviously nowadays with digital television and that, is it?
A lot of people aren't really watching it as much. Yeah. I remember as a kid, before going to school, me and my mum would watch, like, I can't even remember what was on before, like, fucking Good Morning Britain or something, but like whatever, like This Morning or whatever, that would be on first thing in the morning when I had my Weetabix and I was getting ready for school, and then come home from school it would be CITV or like BBC, and then so like these, this is all part of your day, they become part of your routine, do you know what I mean?
Like you grow up with them,
man,
because it's like the ones who do children's TV
go on to do
end up doing other stuff.
Remember Simon for Blue, well, from our generation of Blue Peter, Simon went on to do Sky Sports, Matt Baker does fucking everything, Connie Huck married Charlie Brooker, and I can't remember the other one, but
so like you grow up with them, which is kind of lost, I would say, even our generation and like the one below us, because it's all internet now, so like it's, I think nowadays is you could do it, you have a YouTuber of, because we don't have BBC News on now, it's like everything's either pinged to your phone or you see it through the internet, but as soon as you think you one person is like, next person, but you obviously didn't have that luxury.
No, absolutely,
it's not as if you'd be like, oh, BBC's day, man, and let's switch to Sky, or let's switch to this and that.
You're stuck with the same five faces, But I think that's why people have kind of felt that, like, kind of security going to watching this, because they're like, oh, I know Craig Charles, I like him, I'm going to see what he's up to.
Oh, he's good in Red Dwarf, like, let's get a swat.
100%, 100%. And that's the thing is, like, at the start of this, allegedly, there was, it's not on the DVD, that's why I'm saying allegedly, apparently there was a "this is a drama, calm yourself" message before it, but if you missed the first 10 minutes you're walking into this being like, what the fuck's Parky talking about paranormal people for?
When I've done a lot of research on this movie,
can you tell that Ross is stowing his bag? That man is cooking.
But it's like, apparently there was a movie on ITV that ran late, so people would do it then switch over to this, which obviously means they missed the disclaimer, but according to like sources, i.e. people I've spoke to and internet folk, like I've done deep research, guys, is that on the Radio Times it said this is a drama, any TV listing, channel listing, like magazine or whatever it is at the time, be like, no, like drama done by like starring, and it gave you a cast list. So to anybody reading that stuff, it's pretty obvious, but there'd have been a lot of children that when they read the Radio Times
or you're not
like
reading
the TV guide.
Yeah, what's on?
Yeah, and if you missed it, if you're watching that other movie at Halloween, then you come out of this, you're like,
what the fuck am I watching? Yeah.
And it's just, Stephen Volk planned a lot of, I believe he planned a lot of this.
Trust and
we'll
believe.
We'll get into it, but he planned a lot of the stuff that was going on.
Trust and believe.
Like, just to get into it, like, we obviously we spoke about that, but see from like a filming standpoint of this, is it how it can cut, like, between the live bits and that? To do that in, like, a mockumentary style, is it? It's never been done. Late Night with the Devil, not so much, because
that's more 70s based, though, but do you know what I mean? But
that's more like, you can tell that's a movie.
Yes, But, because when it cuts to the advert breaks, it cuts to them talking at the same kind of thing. So 100%.
Like, the immersion that you're watching this, not live, obviously, because it tells you it's going back.
Yeah.
But you don't get the feeling that it's a talk show.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing it.
Yeah.
But that, and like the sound design in this is unreal.
Insane. Like, you're cooking, Ross. Like, I just don't, your bag.
Like, I don't see any other styles of this movie, like mockumentary, like found footage and that. I don't see anyone else doing it.
No.
And I don't understand how a 34, I said, wasn't it?
Something like
34, 32-year-old movie, like, can still be the best at this.
And like you're saying, like the fact that this is over 30 years old, like it holds up. Do you know what I mean? Like we were saying at the start, like we've shown this to people and they've still been freaked out. Do you know what I mean? Like, and that says so much. Like, because there's things like in the nicest way possible, I like Blair Witch Project. Some parts of it haven't aged well. Do you know what I mean? Like, and there's movies that you watch that are very of their time. Do you know what I mean? This, you can tell, is part of its time, but it's a setting that you're familiar with if you grew up watching British telly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you like obviously you know now that this wasn't a real seance and that. Yeah, obviously, yeah. Hence why we're still here and aye. Not possessed by big pipes.
Ooh.
But it's more just as a movie alone, if you can buy into right, like just put your mind to it and be like this is a live thing happening. Mm-hmm. That's it. There's nothing in this for me anyway that can take you out of that.
No, absolutely not.
It's like obviously, as I said, it's not real. We get it, but it's how you can, how they're still able to keep you in, and it's just fantastic, like fantastic one.
100%. See, bouncing into your point is like, so there's a part in the movie where you see wee Suzanne banging on the pipes, and she yeah. starts. So she gets caught on camera faking it, and she starts freaking out, being like, "But you wanted this. Like nothing was happening. We had to show you that this was real." And all this kind of thing. And obviously, it shows you that. And you're like, oh, bastard. Do you know what yeah. I mean? And then it's the how Parky and all that try and recover from it. So, like, yeah, he's yeah. sitting there and he's like, well, folks, live on television, you've just seen a fake, blah, blah, blah. And then you've got the doctor being like, no, this is real. Like, we've done this and this. And then Parky at one point is basically like, I will wrap up early. There's another show coming on. And then after them finding out that she's faked it, when Pipes is like, oh, you think this is fake? Let's fucking wrap yeah. this up. Then Parky's like, actually, I know we said we were going to go to the next program, but we're going to stick here and see the findings. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it is that kind of clunkiness, but you're like, yeah, cool, fuck it, I'm in. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Because that section where Suzanne is like faking it, it really is that.
Oh, it's a gut punch.
So I've just wasted my time for yeah. what? Do you know what I mean? And then Pipes is like, is that fucking right, big man? Let's go. And that's when pictures start flying, mirrors start flying, like fridge doors are opening, the cat noises start, yeah. all this mad shit. Like, uh-huh. and you're just like, cool, we're in now, no bother. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
It's just that it gives off the impression that it's like a real time thing, like this is happening. There's too many movies now that do it, and it's like the immersion can be broken so quickly. Whereas this does a very good job. Probably up until the end, like the very end scene with Parkinson, is yeah. when you can, you like, that's probably the.
Oh my god, Lauren. Sorry, Ross. Sorry.
What are you doing?
I'm so sorry. I literally saw something go past the window. It's because it's pure blustery outside.
Fuck, steak.
I'm so sorry, Ross. I'm so sorry. I literally just saw, it must have been like a bag or something. I'm so sorry. As we said at the start, listen, we should have recorded this episode in a storm. I swear to God, like, sorry.
You're a fucking dick. I cannot believe you.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, I almost died there. Fucking hell. I'm still shaking.
I'm so sorry. Because, like, where you're sitting, the windows, and I was like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. Literally,
look at the screen, don't look anywhere else.
I'm so sorry, we're two in my bags. So sorry. Anyway, you were saying about Parky. I'm so sorry.
You know what? Fuck Parky, I'm done.
I'm so sorry, Ross. I'm Jesus Christ. I'm so sorry.
Fuck me, I'm shaking myself. Right, so
that's how effective this movie is. I'm not being funny.
That is the movie. That was you doing that to me. I shat myself there.
Ross, I drink half.
Fucking hell.
I thought something went by the fucking window. I was like, oh no, it's Pipes. I'm going there. Anyway, continue.
Right, so we've got a little extra bit for this because nobody, like, people die in this, but it's all off camera and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we've got a bit in it. Who would be in a modern version of this?
Yeah.
So I'll let you go first. If you can.
I kind of stayed with mostly BBC, right? So I reckon, actually, I don't know if Bradley Walsh counts. I said Bradley Walsh would be Craig Charles, like just cutting about being a pure dick. Wayne does Gladiator aye. With him now. Yeah. So one of the Walshies. I've put like Matt Baker, Alex Jones from The One Show would be like the Sarah Green Smithy vibes. But I think Matt Baker would be the one in the house.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think they gender swap it. I reckon either Richard Armitage or is it Richard Osmond?
The big tall guy.
I think it would either be one of them as the Parky vibe.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, right, okay.
I think it'd be one of them, like That's what I can see now. I could see, like, your Richard Armitage guy be just, like, you know, like,
the actor?
No. Your man for Pointless. Is that not his name? I thought his name was Richard Armitage.
Is that not the actor?
Alexander Armstrong.
Alexander Armstrong. Alexander Armstrong.
Who the fuck's Richard Armitage?
The actor.
Oh, right, okay. Alexander Armstrong or that Richard Osman, I reckon, would be the Parky vibe.
Yeah, thanks.
Fuck,
so.
Sorry, Alexander Armstrong. Sorry. No. You're looking at me off a cocky. Like, right, who have you
no,
got?
No. So, for the Parkinson, but I've got Jeremy Vine.
Jeremy Vine? Oh my god! Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In this movie, Parkinson does
cunt.
Not give her the time of day.
He's such up a until the end.
Like,
yeah,
until
yeah,
it all starts going really Pete Tong, yeah, he's very like, what? But every time she says something, she's like, ah, shite, get fucked.
Jeremy Vine, right? You are so.
For the Sarah Green character, I've got Helen Skelton.
Helen Skelton?
She was a Blue Peter presenter for us.
Oh, okay.
Blonde haired woman.
Oh my god, yeah, I forgot all about her. I am with you.
For the Mike Smith character, I've got Dan Walker.
Yes.
And for
Big Dan Walker, does he not do all like the.
Does a lot of the BBC football stuff and that. I think he does Channel 5 now.
Oh, does he?
But I've got Craig Charles as Matt Baker.
Yeah.
The wee happy chappy.
I love just, Matt Baker. Right,
like,
okay.
I think that's who I've got.
Right, okay. Aye, cool. Listen, I could see us either way, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it would be really interesting to see them do something like this now, but I don't know if they could, and plus I don't want them to remake it, do you know what I mean?
The internet would kill this dead now.
100%. Like,
yeah, like, you would need, you could only view this as a drama thing.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And if you want to do that, watch this.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. No, I totally agree. No, good shout, Ross, good shout.
But if I can't get Matt Baker, what about Matt Berry? He could be Pipes.
Oh my god.
Like, just have, what's this guy in What We Do in the Shadows?
Laszlo.
I just have Laszlo as Pipes.
I New York City.
Like, just have him doing that.
I don't give a fuck. His name's Mike. Yeah, Colleen Robinson.
Like, just him being Pipes. That'd be hilarious.
I'm in. No, stunning 40 out of 10. Dive into favourite scene?
Yes. So, I've done a favourite scene plus, like, my favourite Pipes sighting.
Oh, so you can tell me that? Right, cool. Right, I'll just make this up on the fly then. There you go.
So, my favourite scene is, it's near the end when the really starts hanging the house and the girl's in the corner and Sarah Green goes to get her and it's a full possessed voice.
And she starts doing the, like you, what you pretty eyes you have.
You
can
see it in her eyes, no? I was like, that's creepy.
Yeah, that's creepy as fuck. Yeah, 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 100%.
Like, that's the first time you proper see. Like, because the two girls in this, they can't act for toffee.
No.
It's a sin.
No.
But
it doesn't take away, I don't think. Like,
it's not as bad. It doesn't take away as much as what it should.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
As soon as you see that bit, and is it, oh, they've done that well, because it's almost like a whole face changes.
100%.
But she's just standing, like, they're, like, just
staring at her mouth.
I just staring, like, at nothing. And it's, that's really creepy.
100%.
And my favourite Pipes one is the Craig Charles walking about. The first time you see him, actual and physical, like, you see a physical, like,
yep,
like, depiction of him.
100%. My favourite scene was either going to be just see the last 10 minutes where everything goes to shit.
Yeah, it's the finale.
Or see the bit where, so obviously before this, they tell you that Mother Sneddon used to drown cats.
Yeah.
And when she drowns our bunny and she's sitting there like, Pipes told me.
Yeah.
I'm like, did he? Fucking did he?
Heals the eyes, then it just cuts. Like,
yeah, 100%. And my favourite Pipes sighting, I'm going to say, is see when the tape is going and he just kind of appears behind her and then Swift fucks off.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's my favourite ones. Right. I'm going to dive into useless information.
Yes, go
and
for it.
I've not told you any of this, so I think you'll like it, right? So, Stephen Volk was inspired by the original War of the Worlds radio play and the realism of that at the time. That was another one where, like, people genuinely thought aliens were coming. Do you know
what I mean? That I can see that. Like, that's very up. Yeah. High, like, that had the same effect for the
100%,
radio.
100%. Yeah. 100%. So, Ghostwatch was banned in the UK after the public's reaction. It was deemed that there was a deliberate attempt to cultivate a sense of menace, and it was ruled that the programme was excessively disturbing due to the graphic images of child harm and references to child abuse. Child harm, she just has scratches on her face from when she gets possessed. But I get it. Like,
it's funny from, because this week we've seen Terrifier 3.
Yeah.
Seeing that, then thinking back in 92, that's a bit much, mate, is it? We've seen a guy like basically get cut in like two of his arsehole.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
just breed 4 days ago. Yeah. This is too extreme.
100%. The British public in the '90s.
Beige's bastard.
It was further stated that due to the presenters being mostly children's TV presenters, this gave parents a false sense of security that this was a safe show for their children to watch.
Ah, pish.
Right, I'm not being funny. There was also a comment as well that it was too close to the 9 o'clock watershed. I feel like anything after 9 o'clock, it is...
Should be fair game.
Yeah, it's parents' discretion, because you get like, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here and all that on at night at 9 o'clock, right? But if there's a program called Ghost Watch on Halloween and you don't think your kid can cope with it, that's on you, man. Do you know what I mean? That's on you. So the show has never been aired in repeat or rerun form on any UK channel since its release. An 18-year-old viewer who suffered from mental health issues and learning difficulties committed suicide 5 days after the show was aired. His family home suffered from faulty central heating issues, which caused the pipes to clatter and knock within the walls. The viewer was so distressed by these issues that he linked them to watching the TV show, thinking that the seance had affected his house. He wrote in his suicide note, "If ghosts are real, I'll see you soon," kind of thing. His parents went on to blame an attempt to sue the BBC for the loss of their son. The Broadcast Standards Commission initially refused their complaint, but after going through court proceedings, they stated that they would issue a warning before any TV shows of this nature were aired, and that they would take their duty of care to their audience more seriously.
Yeah.
There's obviously more backstory to that, but I don't really want to get too much into that, because that's kind of its own thing. But that was another huge story that got this movie like banned to shit. Yeah. Basically, they were like, people are dying, do you know what I mean? An article was published in the British Medical Journal in 1994 that advised and gave evidence that two 11-year-old boys were having ghost watch induced PTSD. These were the first reported cases of television induced PTSD.
Oh,
so this is another thing, like you say, like obviously this adds to the mystique of the movie, do you know what I mean? What? Apparently, like years later, there was like an 8-year-old boy who watched Casualty and got PTSD from it, and they went mental at Casualty because that's on before the watershed. Like, I used to watch Casualty with my mom, do you know what I mean?
What fucking episode of Casualty was that made people...
I don't remember.
Fucking bonkers.
Like, Casualty was, like, tame ER, do you know what I mean? Like, ER was on at, like, 9 on a Thursday, do you know what I mean? And ER was fucking mental. Casualty was just like, oh, no, I've stubbed my toe. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was never that deep. The showmaker, this is when you know they were fucking bam ups, right? The showmakers originally wanted to include a high pitched tone throughout the show so that it would agitate dogs watching the show, which would then add to the immersive drama. But this wasn't possible due to soundtrack restrictions. Apparently, within the BBC, there's like caps on like pitches and all that kind of thing.
Be guidelines for it throughout all television have to meet certain criteria.
But like, see if they've been able to do that. And like, could you imagine trying to watch this and your dog's going mental? And then there's another point where viewers are phoning in being like, oh my God, my dog's going crazy at the telly. Do you know what I mean?
You kind of see the parts where that would have worked, because people's dogs have been going crazy. They're hearing their phone calls and be like, oh shit,
yeah.
I wonder, because
I'd have shat myself.
Remember the scene with the glass? The woman phones in, oh man. I wonder if there was going to be something with that.
Yeah, so
I don't know if you could do it through TV, but imagine it could, and that happened.
There was loads of phone calls like that. So the first phone call, she says, oh, my man's went to pick up his teacup and the teacup's smashed and there's blood on the wallpaper and the kids won't move. They won't move from the screen. And then Parky's like, your kids shouldn't really be watching this. Turn off the telly and go to your bed. And she's like, that's it. I can't turn off the TV. I've tried turning off the TV.
Yeah.
And then there's other phone calls of being like, my plate's just smashed. My clocks
imagine
have stopped.
Imagine phoning Parky saying, I can't turn my telly off. 100%,
100%. The phone number on the show was a real telephone number. When viewers would phone in, they would hear an engaged tone and static coming through the phone.
God, He's an evil genius, Stephen Fulton. Evil genius.
This is another one. Allegedly, there was a "this is not real" at the start. But also, I'm kind of like, do you know what it's like when you used to phone up for the house phone and you'd be in the middle of having a conversation with your mom while it was ringing?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so I'm assuming like loads of people have been like, oh, aye, shut up, I'm just phoning this. And then it started ringing in the, do you know what I mean? So again, I don't blame people for not hearing that if they didn't hear that. As I kind of said earlier on, the makers of the Blair Witch Project reportedly watched this movie and cited it as a huge inspiration to their film. And I'm not being funny. Once you watch Ghost Watch, you're like, aye, cool, Blair Witch, I see what you're doing.
Yeah, you can see it.
100%. And now I've got some fun ones for you, just to lighten the mood, you know. Rue McClanahan, who is Blanche from Golden Girls, said that this is one of her was one of her favourite TV shows. Nice. Poor man, it's for Blanche. The ghost stories that mention pipes that are throughout all the phone calls and throughout what the doctor says are all an amalgamation of various ghost stories given by the public.
Ah, okay, okay.
Also, I've only been able to find one of who was almost in it. Joanna Lumley, Kirsty Young and Yvette Fielding were all considered as roles for the different TV presenters within the show. But obviously they got who they got, kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But that's just some of the like crazy useless information that, without sounding insensitive, like really does add to the mystique of the show. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like obviously the way Blair Witch did it, where Blair Witch used the internet
They capitalised on the internet stuff to really make people think this is real.
Absolutely. And we only found out a couple of weeks ago that there was a documentary that came out before the Blair Witch movie.
Yeah, we need to watch that.
Yeah, we need to find that. And it's the documentary's all about the story of the forest and all this kind of stuff. And that's the fake documentary is supposed to be the inspiration for them going filming. Yeah. So apparently you kind of need to, or you're supposed to have watched the documentary before you watch it, but we only found out a couple of weeks ago that it was fucking there.
Yeah,
so there you go.
Didn't realise, no.
But I think, see things like that, that really use what they've got around them, like obviously the use of information kind of shows you how the backlash of this show, do you know what I mean? But obviously with the way they've done Ghostwatch, the way Blair Witch was done, even Paranormal Activity of in the way of all the actors on IMDb, that was all their real names.
Yeah. Yeah, they kept that, like, they kept themselves hidden.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, it's all this kind of thing. And whether you like these movies or not, like, it really does add to the, it's not just that you should watch this movie, it's good. It's a, you should watch this movie, and have you heard this, and have you heard that, and da da da. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's almost like when you watch movies like this, you kind of feel like you're in the know, if you know what I mean. Like you're, and this is one of those movies, again, this and like Blair Witch and really any movie that you're into, but I mean this is like, this is the kind of movie that you finish and you want to go and look stuff up about it. Want to go and
you
find
want to speak
out
about it. Yeah,
totally. Like you want to talk about it, you want to show it to your pals, you want to look things up and be like, oh, did that happen, oh my god, you'll never guess. Do you know what I mean? So I'm 40 out of 10 in, do you know what I mean?
Stunning.
Honestly, once you watch this movie, you realise why it's your 10 out of 10 movie.
Oh, yeah, you'll get it.
100%. Do you have any? I don't.
No.
No, I don't either.
Like, maybe the reaction of some of the presenters.
They're
fairly
chill.
Calm, even when they're starting to see stuff. They're like, oh, we'll just go into this. And I was like, probably don't. Like, I'm pretty certain you've seen pipes there, but
he was behind you. Yeah. Like a mirror's just fell off and smashed your sound guy in the head. I think you should leave.
Yeah.
But then part of me wonders if it's that kind of like that live TV thing of just like
you
just have to keep going. You have to stay professional. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because it's even that bit at the start when Craig Charles jumps out of the cupboard at her, and you think she's going to swear, and she just calls him a beast, and he turns around and he's like, very professional, love. Do you know what I mean? It's like, but never me. I'd be like, you fucking arsehole. Like,
you just nearly gave me a heart attack.
I'm fucking sorry. There's a storm outside. I wasn't expecting it to go fly past the
window. Does you mean I need to die because there's a storm outside?
Right. Future reference, if there's a storm going on, we don't fucking watch a horror movie, right? Because I'm not sleeping the night.
We've only got one after this, then that's us for a while.
True. Do you have a worse guy whose hairline just eating?
They all just play themselves. There's not a bad performance in this.
Yeah, I've just got Craig Charles because I always thought Craig Charles was a prick. I never liked Red Dwarf either. Sorry, Carol. I never liked Red Dwarf. So I don't really give a fuck about Craig Charles. And I'm sure he was in Corey when I was a kid and he was a right prick in Corey.
But no, it's just they're all playing what their job is.
Yeah.
Like, if they weren't good in this, then it's like you couldn't have been a presenter or whatever it is you were doing at the time.
100%. I don't have who's in a different film either.
Can it be they're playing themselves?
Well, that's the thing. And I don't have an I'm out either. So the last couple of categories are fucking wasted on this episode.
Different movie. Is it maybe Pipes? Because he shouldn't have been as scary as for a fucking BBC drama.
Pipes should be in Terrifier 4, but not the clown. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, Pipes doesn't get the respect as, like, the Blair Witch does.
No.
When it's like, that monster, I mean, you don't see it.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck the Blair Witch.
100%. Like, 100%.
Obviously, this isn't as well known. And
I think that's the thing. Is like we said earlier on, like the BBC weakened this off the air, did good and bad for this because I wish more people had seen this movie. I mean, to be fair, I didn't know it existed until you showed it to me.
Yeah.
But I wish more people had seen this film. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I really, really hope, like, if there's any way you can find to watch it, or see if you want to come up here and watch it, or if you want to upload our DVD. Like, let us know, because you need to see it, because I've got a horrible feeling this episode's going to come up and loads of people are going to be like, what? Do you know what I mean?
Just watch it, guys.
100%. Listen, if you've got this far, fucking watch it, do you know what I mean? Yeah,
this didn't benefit from, I think if this was done, maybe even like 98, 99.
Yeah, 100%.
And like, it could benefit from having like,
the internet.
The start of the internet forums, like, and chat rooms and that.
Chat rooms,
like,
this
would have exploded.
100%.
But, it did they, and you know what? Tough.
It's underrated, but for a good reason. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
It's underrated, the fact that nobody's heard it.
Aye, 100%.
That's all right. Once you watch it, everybody I know has been pretty convinced that this nice is decent.
Yeah, 100%. I had said to Veronica before we started recording this, I was like, by the way, I hope you don't mind, I'm going to call you out on the podcast. She went, I stunned, what was the film called again? And I went, Ghostwatch. And she's just messaged me there going, fucking Ghostwatch. And I'm like, yep, that's about right. anyway, guys, this has been our Ghostwatch episode. Thank you so much if you stuck this long. Next week is the final week. So we have... Well, there's only one way to finish the final week of Halloween, and that is with a final girl. So,
is that a role reverse final girl?
Yeah, perfect. So we shall see you next week for the last Ookie Spooky episode. Bye.
Bye.
Pipes is over there. Got any action, Rot Rod?